Chapter 1 in our Management 120 course is designed to introduce the students to the concepts of entrepreneurs, who they are, and what they do. The first topic in the first section is growth of entrepreneurship. Here, I simply want you to understand that there are more and more small businesses. Circumstances, demographics, various factors that we'll look at later in this chapter have encouraged the growth of individual small businesses. Chapter 2, or Section 2, helps us to understand exactly what is an entrepreneur. Well, an entrepreneur, you and I already understand, is someone that runs a small business. But actually, in the academic sense, an entrepreneur means someone that develops a successful business. So simply running a business does not make you an entrepreneur, but developing and making that business successful is what an entrepreneur does. The second topic in Section 2, Entrepreneurial Profile, the book lists a good many characteristics in both these topics of what makes a successful entrepreneur. As you might imagine, these are things like dedication, hard work. There's a long list of things. I would encourage you to read the book, but for our online purposes and the purposes of our test, which is my primary purpose of this topic, there's nothing here that I would require you to know or to memorize for the test. Similarly, Section 3, Entrepreneurial Opportunity, Various Techniques for Getting into the Entrepreneurial Business. The text does a good job of covering these on the noted pages, and I would encourage you to look at those. But they will not be something I'll ask you to feed back to me on the test. Now, Sections 4 and 5 are a little bit different. The one thing I would want you to come away from this chapter understanding is what are the benefits and the drawbacks of being an entrepreneur, of running your own business. Now, the text does a good many of these on the pages noted, but to me, they boil down to these three benefits and these three drawbacks. You could give me other answers that are technically correct, but to obtain the points on your test, these are the answers I want. I want you to simply say that the benefits of running a small business are you can control your own destiny, you have an opportunity for increased profits, and you can do what is enjoyed. Those benefits, as opposed to working for someone else where you're under someone else's control, you do not share in the profits, you simply earn a salary, and you do what you're told rather than what is enjoyed always in terms of the type of business. Similarly, there are drawbacks to being an entrepreneur, and these are covered in Section 5. The primary three, as I see it, is the income uncertainty. You may run a business and not be profitable. You may lose money. So you can't be certain if you have house payments and car payments. Running your own business is a sure course of worry. Second is capital risk. You borrow or invest money to start up a small business, and there is some risk that your business may fail and you may lose that money. So your capital, your invested money may be at risk. And finally, if you run your own business, you obviously have responsibility for that business. You're responsible for its success. You're responsible for its failures. You're responsible for its legal violations. You're responsible for its customer relationships. The responsibility is the owner, does fall to the entrepreneur. Section 6 is another one of those think about it kind of issues. I encourage you to read it, but we will not be testing on it. Why has entrepreneurship grown? Well, many of the reasons we'll cover in the next section on the types of people that are entrepreneurs these days. But for now, I would encourage you to read pages 18 to 20 and understand what the book is saying. There's another term that shows up in this section. Please note that in all these outlines, the terms from the term list are identified by the quotation marks. That means that it was a term, and our coverage over here will help you understand the meaning of it, much as entrepreneur was in an earlier section. In this case, our term is World Wide Web. What I want you to understand here is the World Wide Web and the Internet are not exactly the same thing. The World Wide Web is a part of the Internet. That's those web pages that you and I are so used to seeing. Academically, we would think of them as graphics-rich and having links to other pages. So you may ask, what is on the Internet that's not on the World Wide Web? Well, things like Internet mail, things like other types of mail. Mail communications are not considered really part of the web. Hot mail, the kind of mail you would have through an Internet service provider. Other things are news groups and simply communications, FTP, file transfers. The Internet is thought of as the connections between computers. The World Wide Web is that set of pages that are rich in graphics and links. Section 7 talks about the diversity of entrepreneurship. I would encourage you to read any of these that are of special interest to you. You might ask, why do we have more entrepreneurs today? Well, a lot of that has to do with demographics. There are more young people interested in making money. There are more working women and fewer traditional stay-at-home housewives, so they feel that they can become involved in business endeavors. Minorities and immigrants are certainly an issue, as education levels and desire for the American success dream have grown in those areas in some cases. Some people would rather work part-time, and they feel they can do it, run their home businesses, those kinds of things. Family businesses. The modern-day pressures on the family are great and accepted by all political views and just about everyone. And one way to get around that is to run the business with the family. Now, the next three topics, copreneurs, corporate cast-offs, and corporate dropouts, are also terms. Copreneurs, I think you'll find to be very simple. That is simply when you have a couple of partners working together to successfully develop a business. Well, what would you call them? Copreneurs. Corporate cast-offs and corporate dropouts are entrepreneurs that came from the corporate world working for others. The difference between cast-offs and dropouts would be their reasons for leaving, as you might imagine. The baby boomers are such an important demographic in this country, and they're starting to get old now, but they still, in many cases, feel like they have much to contribute. And many of them are choosing to do that by running their own businesses. Section 8 talks to some of the statistics of small businesses and how important they are or are not in the scope of things, in the scope of our economy. But Section 9, I think I said Chapter 8, I meant Section 8. Section 9 leads us to the failure perspective. What's the failure rate for small businesses? The text talks to this. I would encourage you to look at that. And the causes of failure. There are many causes of failure. Obviously, basic is not having a good plan. But if we boil those down to the three that I thought were most important, I think it would be management incompetence, inability to actually run your business, poor cash management. As we'll see in chapters later in the course, it's one thing to make a profit. It's entirely another thing to be able to manage your cash, the timing of your payouts and your income. And finally, entrepreneurial transition. Many people are able to run their own small business when they're doing it themselves, but at some point, if they want to be successful and be an entrepreneur, that business grows and develops, and they have to shift from doing the work into actually managing the business. And for many, that is a tough point. Many plumbers can go out and be very good plumbers on their own, but when their business grows to a point where they're hiring plumbers and they're in the office dealing with customers instead of doing the plumbing work, they start to fail miserably. Now, I want you to note here a hint that I've given you. Causes of failure is underlined in your notes. As I mentioned in the introduction to the notes and test topic, there are several questions that I felt like you should understand, you should be familiar with, but it may not be appropriate to ask you really to memorize those. This is one of those examples. The hint I've given you is that underlining. What you will have here is you will have a longer list of possibilities and be asked to select from those the three causes of most small business failure, as shown here. Those correct answers will be management incompetence, poor cash management, and entrepreneurial transition. Finally, the last section is on avoiding pitfalls. And similarly here, I've asked you for some suggestions to do that. You and I may come up with our own list as the book is done. But in doing that, I've picked out these three that I think are the most important suggestions to avoiding the pitfalls and possible failure of your small business. First, prepare a business plan. In later chapters, we'll understand a little better about why that is important and what it can do for you. But suffice it to say for now, it's one of my primary suggestions. Second, manage your financial resources. As we mentioned briefly earlier, cash management is one of the quick ways to fail. And third, manage people effectively. That's often the problem, those two, with the entrepreneurial transition. Okay, at that point, you have a good idea of what are the test questions. Please note here carefully that there are four test questions. Two things, the benefits and the drawbacks, you will be asked to provide as lists, these items from Section 4 and Section 5. Two other items in Section 9 and Section 10, you will be asked to identify these answers from a larger list. But before that, remember on the test, as it covers this chapter, You'll be asked for all seven terms. You should look back over these now. I won't do this for every chapter, but in this particular case, I want to go down these list of terms with you and to see if we've mentioned them in our discussion here. One or two of them we have not, and we'll do that right now. Now, term number one was entrepreneur. I believe we said that entrepreneur was more than a person running a business, but a person that was developing a successful business. World Wide Web, it's a part of the Internet. What distinguishes it? Those graphics-rich pages, pages with lots of graphics and links to other pages. Copreneurs, that's a team or a pair of entrepreneurs successfully running a business. Corporate cast-offs, corporate dropouts, obviously these are formerly members of the working world that have decided to leave and run their own business, either by choice, as in the case of dropouts, or because they were laid off or circumstances of their business changed and their job was not available to them, as in the case of cast-offs. Entrepreneurs is a term we have not covered. Notice the different spelling here from entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is an individual that develops a successful business inside of a larger organization. That may seem a little strange at first thought, but if you understand large corporations, you will understand that all of them consist of individuals in various divisions and departments that successfully develop their own business there. Maybe one of the easiest examples to see would be to imagine a successful president of Chevrolet division of General Motors. He can certainly run Chevrolet as a successful business, and we would have to give him credit for some entrepreneurial activity there. But in the academic world, we choose to call him an entrepreneur because he is working inside of a larger organization. And the last term, term seven, entrepreneurial transition, as we mentioned earlier, this helps us to understand that problem area that comes when an entrepreneur reaches the point where he is being successful, his business is growing, and now his duties change from simply doing the work to better managing the business, the resources, including the people of that business. Okay, I hope that was a decent coverage of Chapter 1, and as much as anything, it gives you an idea of how you should look at these chapters. Coverage of later chapters may be a little more brief and more focused on the test questions with some of the terms, particularly those that do not have specific page references covered. Thank you very much. I hope that was helpful.